To see all of you at church this morning. Of course, the youth just got back from Camp Tenoyham and the kids. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off this morning and we're going to let them sing the first song this morning. So if you went to camp, come up. We're going to sing this morning. So youth, y'all come on and let's get started with the youth. Isn't that good? Let's give him a hand again. That's good. What a great way to start service this morning. Stand with me. Take a hymnal if you need it. Let's turn number 286. Number 286. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way.
Thank you. to see everybody here this morning. If you're visiting, we're glad to have you, but it's good to see our people here. Appreciate you being in Sunday school this morning. I hope you, if you're not in Sunday school, we got a class for everybody, and we'd like to see you there. Our teachers, we don't say enough about our teachers. They work hard, and they're consistent, and I appreciate every one of them. Well, let's just pray the Lord would bless the worship today. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Lord, the health you've given us to be here. Everything we have is a gift of God. And we just thank you for that this morning. Bless those that cannot be here today but help for health reasons, that you touch their bodies. I pray that you'd bless, Lord, this worship today. Let it bring glory to you and let it lift our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we love our pastor and his wife and appreciate what they do for our church and their love for the people. And this week they're celebrating the wedding anniversary. And so what we hear, and we just want to give them a special gift from the church, so they come forward. I'd just like to recognize them this morning, show them how much we love them.
I appreciate it. Well, I appreciate it because she's going to make me take off next couple of days and take her somewhere.
I'm not making them.
Shit. Well, we're going. So. Anyway, we've been married 49 years. And yeah, it's been, I've worked hard at this. No, we've enjoyed it. We still love each other and still have fun with each other. If you don't have fun with your spouse, who can you have fun with? And it makes y'all feel sorry for her, too. But anyway, we appreciate what you do for us. Appreciate the gift.
Sometimes I'd rather you not feel that sorry, my friend. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it all. It is, just like I've said before, it's just an honor and a blessing for us to be here with you. Thank you.
Well, come back. We've got to sing happy anniversary to you at least. Stand with us. We'll sing that this morning.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary.
Look the same.
He's the master of the sea. Let's sing this.
Filled with
grace of God.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's sing that good song this morning. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
time as the choir comes down to shake hands with each and every one. Tell them you're glad to see them in the Lord's house. Sing that last verse with me. I never shall forget the day on that last.
I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord when Jesus was my name.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
While we take up the offering, I believe Brother Jordan's going to show the video of the youth retreat, and then after that, the young Brother Jeff's coming up, and the young people. Someone's going to say something, maybe. Maybe Brother Jeff will. But anyway, we appreciate the work that he and all of the workers did for the youth retreat, the cooks. I mean, everybody pitched in and had a great year again, had two saved this year. And we're thankful for that. So we'll be hearing from them in just a minute. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Guy Harris, would you do this?
Lord, we just ask you to be with the rest of our service here, Lord, with the singing,
yes,
and the preaching, the testimonies, Lord. Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for your goodness, Lord.
Yes,
thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we love you and ask you, please bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I know this will be easier if I just make Ma come up here. So if you got one of these red shirts on, come on down. So I just... I want to say thank you to the church again for said all the support and the prayers because we couldn't do it without each other. And that's what it's all about. And I love camp time. So it's a whole lot of work, but it's just there's something special about it. And the Lord, he just meets us there, and he showed up in a big way this time. And it's always a blessing for me just to see the difference it makes in the heart of our young people, just to get away from the world together for a little bit. And I was curious how it was going to go this year because I planned it out a little, took out a lot of games and things that we normally do and added more spiritual things. And it was a blessing. They loved it. And that's a testament to the caliber of young people that we have at this church. And I've watched so many of them just mature in the Lord and step up and want to lead the younger ones. And that blesses my heart more than anything to see that growth and it, as the Lord just becomes real in their heart and in their life, and they desire to know Him more. They desire to seek Him more. They desire to serve Him more. And so there's nothing better than that for me. But I appreciate the church and the support, and it's just such a blessing. I said we had two young men come to know the Lord, and I say it's not about numbers. If we make a difference in one kid's life, it's worth it all. But like I said, I've seen seen the Holy Spirit move in the hearts of several of these young people and them desire that closer walk with Him. And that's what it's all about for me. So I praise the Lord for those souls that were saved. Now we're working on discipleship and getting them plugged in and working on that. So y'all pray for us there. We want to get them not just there for camp. We want to get them plugged into our church, into our youth group, or find them one to get plugged into. And we want to encourage them and just see that growth. Like I said, if we get the kids in, maybe we can get the families in. But that's what we need. So I want to give them an opportunity to just testify. I don't know if anybody's going to volunteer or not, but like I did at camp, I'll let the Holy Spirit have His time. And if He speaks to their heart, I said, you can't deny that. So I said, but he was there with us, and we appreciate the Lord and said what He did for us there at camp. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. We went through, our second time in the tornado shelter, so it's become almost tradition, but so when we got in there, we're not going to let Satan stop our worship, we're not going to let a tornado stop our worship, because we serve the one who the winds and the waves control. He's the master of the seas, and He can calm the storm, and we just had a good time up there, so we appreciate the prayers through that. But anybody?
I love these kids, and I'm going to try not to cry through this whole thing. I'm just thankful that they let me tag along with them, every single one of them, special to me, the counselors and the kids. There were so many things that we watched in the kids' lives. They'd encourage one another. They lifted one another up. They'd cut. I mean, you can't go from smearing, shaving cream or shooting a water gun at somebody to turn around and saying, I love you. I'm going to kneel down and pray with you. Like, that's this group. I can't see. We have so much love and prayer, and it's not just these kids, but something I wanted to say about the tornado. This is the second year in the row that we've had to shelter. And I think me and Chad and George were like moths to a lot. We stopped out in the middle of the courtyard and saw the storm cell. And we were like, look at it. It's huge. And, we ran on in with the kids. But my phone started going off. And people from here were texting and praying for us. And we all stopped and prayed and we sang. And it's amazing when you're just in there and you're worshiping God and singing. You forget about all the stuff going on outside, and it just stopped. And it's amazing how that works. We talk about God and we worship God, but sometimes we forget just how amazing God is. And He knew we were going to be up there. He knew that was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise to Him, but sometimes, He wants to see how we're going to rely on Him. And they just sang, and it was fine, and everything was peaceful. And I appreciate all of you, those, because I know we were being prayed for. I know that y'all stopped and had prayer for us. And there was a Friendship Baptist. We have some friends there that were texting me and saying, we know what's going on and we're praying right now. So it's amazing how God brings all those people together. And we really appreciate you all praying for us.
We Cheryl nudged me, so I guess it's my turn. So this year was a little bit different for me. Going into it, we all talked about it. This was something that, like, spoke to my heart this year, was seeing it in a different light, not going as a so much as a camper, but now it's going in more of a leadership counseling role. And something that really opened my eyes was just the adults that we have at our church that truly care about us and pour into us. I just saw so many people. We all just came together, and we prayed a lot about, like, just unity and working together. And I think the Lord really blessed us with that this year, and I think that we were really able just to come together and have a good time and make it truly about the kids that were coming in that needed to hear truth. And so I think that was really encouraging to me. And then something else that I'll say about the tornadoes is when the storm alert goes off and we were all at dinner, and we all, like, jumped up and started running into the cabin where we had to stay. And me and Savannah looked at each other, and we were like, okay, we weren't scared last time because it was in the middle of the night, and, like, we didn't really have a chance to think about it, but, like, we're scared. And so, like, these kids around us are crying, and Brother Jeff was just like, let's just have a time and worship the Lord and not let this become a hindrance to our worship. And it was just, like Miss Laura said, it was so amazing to see, like, we all just started singing and worshiping, and, like, the calm that came over the room. And the kids were still, like, some of them were still kind of upset, but, like, just seeing everyone had a smile on their face. We were just worshiping, and it became not so much tears out of fear, but tears out of worship, and just, like, wow, the Lord is here with us. And then afterwards we came out and we went into the service, and there was supposed to be another round of really bad storms that were coming through. And I just remember, like, we all were praying, like, Lord, just let it go away. Like, this is a really important night of worship that we all just want to spend together. And I remember we all looked at the thing, and it had gone, like, right below us and barely missed us. And that's just something that, for me personally, I just remember sitting there praying and seeing the Lord answer that prayer. But like I said, I just love everyone that's here, and I love this church, and that we have the opportunity to do this. It's really powerful, and it's really important. And I'm just thankful that I had the opportunity to tag along. So thank you.
I just want to thank the Lord for allowing all of us to be able to go and travel safely there and back this year. That was a huge blessing. And one night, Brother Billy talked about spiritual community and how important it is. And I know these people that got to go are the best community, and our church is amazing. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. We had a great time, and we got to worship Him. And just getting to know one another was just a huge blessing.
I don't know what to say, but I guess I'll just talk.
It was a good year of camp. We come back, and we talked about this Wednesday. We asked, like, you know, who all's faced temptation since we've been back. And that just shows how special camp is, because you just get away from the world for a weekend, and it's all God. It's all God. You're just worshiping together and fellowship and stuff, but... No, I'll say something about the tornado. Me, Laura, Justin, and George were outside. And then Brandon was outside too. And Brandon goes, "Has anybody checked the guy's cabin? Like, is there anybody in there?" I was like, "I'll go." I've never heard Mr. Police Officer Jeff, but I heard Officer Jeff that day. He yelled at me. I was like, so I ran right back in the cabin. But no, it was a good year. And, you know, the devil tries to fight you with, like, coming back from last year. We had, 11 kids come to know the Lord? And that's awesome. And then you come back, and the devil tries to fight you with the number game. But at the end of the day, like you said, it don't matter if it was just one soul that came to the Lord. That's all that matters. We could have 700 kids, and if one got saved, it'd be all worth it. So, I mean, that's somebody's eternity. But I'll pass it on. I'll quit talking.
I'm going to piggyback off Lauren because I don't know if y'all know me, but I'm kind of a control freak when it comes to getting everything ready for camp. And every year these kids are probably like, I don't want to help her anymore. But this year we got up there, and I just stood back and I looked at them, and they were doing it like they were doing it, not me. And they got it all together, and that's just so pleasing to me to see them. But what was most pleasing to me is when we got it finished. Ashley and Lauren both said, you know, we want to pray together. We have a devotion we want. And both of them had chosen a verse from John. And then I was like, y'all aren't going to believe this, but I opened up our book and there was a verse from John, and it just all went together. And those kids sat there, Chad and Brandon come down with them in a circle for an hour praying over camp the night before all the kids arrived. And that just really warmed my heart to see them growing in the Lord. And you know, we talk about, you know, they're not the future. They are the church. And we saw that in fruition this weekend. They are the church. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I just want to say that y'all got to come see this sometimes and see these young people. Bless your heart. And, but it's a spiritual awakening. See how close, you know, they get with the Lord. Especially that tornado when we was all hovering up in that room. I seen a couple kids scared. We got singing, and they changed. I mean, peace of God was there with us. And by the way, I did not leave Jeff on purpose.
Chad and Luke were given the opportunity to give the devotion in the camp, and they stepped right up to the plate. And we had some really good talks. I think we got to know each other a little better. And I know when I got back, me and Jackie went out to dinner one night, and we had to get up and leave just because the people behind us, the language. I was like, wouldn't it be nice? Just be in a world like camp all the time, right?
Yeah, man.
What a blessing. Love each one of y'all. Thank you. Appreciate you.
I just want to say real quick, please keep praying for these teenagers and for these young adults that are going on up into their 20s. What you saw one clip on there where they were all down at the altar praying. It was like that after every service time when we had church worship. It was like that every time. And it's just like it is here in church. When one goes down, they all go down to pray with them. Y'all just please keep praying for them because they've got a lot to deal with in school and life, and you know, it's so much different. It's just so different than how it was when we were in school. And we can't even imagine what they're going through today. So please just keep praying for them. This is a great bunch of kids. It really is. It's a great bunch. And they were just there to have fun and to praise the Lord, praise and worship the Lord.
As everybody's coming down, I'll second what Miss Phyllis said, because I told them at the last service that we had, Satan hates what we're doing here, and he's just going to be waiting to set that trap for you when you get back, waiting to get you pulled back into the things of the world. And we always have such a blessing, such a special spirit at camp, and I told them, you know, it's not our God that's different when we get back to the routine. It's not our God that's different when we get back, right? It's us that's different, right? Because we get our eyes off him and onto the things of the world. We can have that same spirit that we have in camp right here in our church every day. We can have it in our homes. We can have it in our schools. We can have it in our works. We can have it in our families. We just got to keep our eyes on him. And I love my church. I love this group, and I appreciate it.
He moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how much I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter at summer, changes of leaves, food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that can raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. Oh, I have been blessed.
A mother and father who nurtured and raised, sisters that can heal, and blood that still saves. Oh, I have been blessed.
I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor as liberty calls. All have gave some,
shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed.
I have been. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Yes, God has been good, so
thank you, ladies. We appreciate the singing and appreciate that report. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. We'll read down through verse 58. If you'll stand with me, we'll have to get you up and exercise a little bit. Give me a chance to get started before y'all go to sleep. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray you bless, Lord, this message. We're thankful for the music and the message that these young people have brought, and we just pray now that you'd use this message, Lord, to encourage our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk about the mystery of the rapture. He says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, I didn't intend to do this, but this is kind of the way it worked out. We started on Wednesday night talking about mysteries in the New Testament, things that were hidden in the Old Testament but now have been revealed, most of them through Paul. And it's just what's been laid on my heart. Last week we talked about the mystery of Israel's blindness. But just in the last two or three weeks, and Wednesday night, we studied about the mystery of the church, the body of Christ, how the Jew and Gentile be baptized into one body in Ephesians chapter 3. I review, because you learn by repetition and visual. And also it was just mentioned in Ephesians 5, he talks about the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ. And then we studied one Wednesday night in Colossians chapter 1, the mystery of Christ indwelling the believer permanently till we go home, and he dwells us to use us, because he's using the church during this dispensation instead of the Jew. And then also, as we said, and then last Wednesday night, we began introducing Matthew 13, the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, we just introduced it, and we'll get into the seven. There's seven parables. It's called the mysteries of the kingdom. And it talks about the seed sowing during this dispensation of the church and how that will affect things and how that will work out. And we'll keep studying that for next Wednesday night or two. And as we said last week, we studied in Romans 11:25, the mystery of Israel's blindness, how the Jew is blind, nationally speaking, the Jew is blind at this certain time and cannot see. They can individually if they want to choose, but they cannot see as a nation that Jesus was the Messiah, and they'll be blinded until the rapture. And you see in these mysteries, it's concerning the church and the church age, and explains to us all the things about this time period we're living in. And this is the mystery of the rapture. The word rapture, and you get this criticism about us that believe in the rapture. The word's not in the Bible, and it's not. It comes from the Latin word raptura, which means to seize or to be carried away. It's not, the word is not in the Bible, but the event is. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, that some will be carried to heaven. The mystery is that some will be carried to heaven without dying. Some will be carried to heaven without dying, and it'll happen at the rapture. There's three scriptures, basically, amongst maybe some others that describe the rapture. We just read one, and it's talking about the change in the rapture. Paul said in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to read it, verse 13 through 18. This talks about the event of it happening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, and this is familiar to you because of funerals. It's the hope we have at funerals. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep refers to those that have died. There's no question that the Thessalonians had a question about their lost dead loved ones. What about them? And he says, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So in this scripture, Paul describes the event of the rapture, or the catching away of the saints. those that are asleep are dead when Christ comes. And this is not the second coming, because we meet him in the clouds. He doesn't put his foot on the earth. In the second coming, he comes to the earth. But it says that the dead will be raised first. He has their soul with him. He brings the soul with him. He resurrects the body, joins them. And then we, in verse 17, that are alive, will follow them. It says we'll be caught up together. That's what the rapture, that's the word rapture means, to be caught up. We that are alive, when this happens, the resurrection, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. So 1 Thessalonians describes the event. 1 Corinthians, we said, describes the change that will happen at that event. We'll go from mortal to immortality, corruptible to incorruptible. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then Revelation chapter 4, we've studied on Sunday nights. Revelation chapter 4 gives us a picture of it, a picture of the rapture. In studying on Wednesday, Sunday nights, we know that we're in the church age. And chapter 2 and 3 describes the church age. And at the end of the church age, in chapter 4 of Revelation, it says in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And the next thing you see is the elders are sitting around the throne, which represents the church. So at the end of the church, describing the church age in chapter 3, it opens chapter 4 with John caught into heaven, which is an example or a picture of the church, the saints leaving at the end of the church age and going into heaven, and will be there during the tribulation. So those are the three basic scriptures that talks about or describes the rapture. But I want to look in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul revealed this mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, if you read the whole chapter, the subject is the resurrection. It's the whole subject is the resurrection. In first few verses, the resurrection is part of the gospel. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached." And he said in verse 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So the resurrection is part of the gospel. Verses 5 through 6 or 7 and 8 talks about the evidence of the resurrection, those that saw him, the eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And then we see in verse number 12, we see people denying the resurrection. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose the dead from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" It's a sad thing, Paul says, if there's no resurrection. So it's part of the gospel. There was eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection, and some are denying our resurrection. And he goes on in verses 13 following through 19. He said in verse 13, "If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen," verse 14, "our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." And he goes on to say, "We're all liars and we're still sinners." Amen. That's how important the resurrection is. Verse 20, though, says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." It's part of the gospel. There was eyewitnesses. Some denied it. Paul said, it's sad. It's a disaster if there is no resurrection. Amen. But he said, yes, there is a resurrection. It is a resurrection because Christ came from the dead and he is the first fruits, which means they'll be more like him following in the rapture and the resurrection. So we see here, and then verses 35 through 50 describes the body of the resurrection. It talks about there's celestial bodies, which are heavenly bodies, and there's terrestrial bodies, which are earthly bodies. And he said in verse 49, "We've borne the image of the earthly. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Amen. This is, we're in an earthly body. One day we'll be in a heavenly body. He said in verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So here we see the body of the resurrection. It's going to have to be changed. Now Paul said, but the point of this is all through this chapter, he's been discussing the resurrection and the fact of the resurrection and the body of the resurrection, and so of the dead. But he goes on to verse 51, says, "But let me show you a mystery. Let me show you something. Step in my office. I want to show you something." He said in verse 51, "We shall not all sleep." What does that word sleep mean? It means dead. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Now, the word change means to make different. Whether we're dead or living, when the rapture, when Christ comes back for us, we're going to be made different. We're going to be changed. Now, the change is necessary because of what he said in verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh and blood can't go to heaven like this. We couldn't stand it. We're not suited for it. This is an earthly body. It's not made for heaven. It's made for here. So something's got to happen. We're going to have to be changed to a heavenly body. You know, you just imagine this little bitty pea brain we got of a mind going into heaven and seeing all the things that John saw and knowing all we're going to know, our mind would probably explode. But anyway, this body is not suited for heaven. It's suited for this earth. So the change is going to be necessary. If there's no change, the dead are going to be raised and get an incorruptible body. And we got something got to happen. We got to be changed to make it to live in heaven. He's either going to have to kill us and resurrect us that are alive when he comes, or he's going to have to change us. I choose change. Don't you? I just soon not die. So the mystery here is that not everybody will die. Hebrews says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Well, we're going to cheat it, as we'll see later on. If we're living when Christ comes in the rapture, he's going to call us up and he's going to change us. Now, looking in verse 15, first of all, the change will be instantaneous. And I've shown you this before. We'll show you again. It'll be instantaneous. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Now, the word moment. If you look it up in Strong's, the Greek word is atomos. A-T-O-M-O-S. Atomos. What word do we use that comes from that? Atom. The smallest. How to describe it? The smallest part of anything is an atom. And so what he's saying here, an atom, the word atomos means uncut or indivisible. So it's the smallest amount of time possible. The smallest amount of time possible in a moment will be changed. And he says in the twinkling of an eye. And the word twinkling means in the jerk of an eye. I've been threatened to have a jerk, not jerk in my neck, but in the jerk of an eye, as fast as you can blink your eye, this is going to happen. Man, that's fast. Those bodies are going to come out of the grave and we're going right up behind them faster than we can even think. But it's going to happen instantaneous. And then the change will modify us. Now, I know what the word modify means, but I looked up the dictionary and it says make changes to, often to improve it, or make suitable. I'm glad it's going to be an improvement. Amen. It's got to get better. And some of you young, healthy people don't understand. Things change. You know, us older folks know that it's got to get better. Now, the problem is for most of us, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But it's going to get better. It's going to change, so we're going to be modified from an earthly to a heavenly body, one suitable to live in heaven. So it's going to be modified. And it said in verse 52 that the dead, at the end of the verse, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now, corruptible. This body is going to rot. Now, we know we've got embalming fluid now, but a body dies, it begins to decay. Right. You remember what Jesus said when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead? He said he'd been in there 4 days. He said, move the stone. They said, he's stinking. And he's been rotting. He's decaying. Right. Well, the body that we're going to have is going to be incorruptible. Right. It will not corrupt. And so the dead will be raised incorruptible. But he said not all sleep in verse 51, but we all shall be changed. The dead will be changed. The living's going to be changed. And it says at the end of verse 52, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. This body will be changed as fast as you can blink your eye. From a mortal body to an immortal body. One that will live forever. For one that is from corruptible, one that is rot if it dies, to one that will never decay. We have a house, the Bible says, not made with hands in the heaven. Although this, he said, if this tabernacle or this house is dissolved, we have a house not made with hands in the heaven that's eternal, it says. So we're going to be changed. We're going to be modified. And as we said a while ago, we're going to be adapted, as it says in verse 50, that this flesh and blood, it cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It has to be changed. So this is the mystery, is not everybody will die or be dead when Christ comes, but everybody will go through the change. So some of us will be changed without dying. Now, the change not only will be modifying, but the change will bring victory. It'll bring victory in verses 54 through 57. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. You know, Hebrews 2 says that all our lifetime we've been afraid of one thing. Death. It's dogging us, and that's why he took on human flesh. It's to defeat the devil who had power of death and to take that fear away from us. Right. Now, I know that we all don't want to go, as Brother Roger the other day, he didn't want to go on the first busload. But we got some security now and some peace about the fact about death because we know what's going to happen. Right. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But it says here that if we're alive at the rapture, death will be swallowed up in victory. You know, the word swallowed up means to drink down or to gulp entirely. Death's going to disappear. Yeah. Death's going to be, we're going to have victory over death. Not only that, but in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? I think about it once in a while. Thought about it this week. When I drive, I think about death a lot. Had a guy I worked with, same age as I was, and we both finished concrete for my dad. And he told Dad one day, he said, if he don't stop driving like he's talking about me, like he's driving, said, he's going to kill himself. Dad said, well, the Lord's riding with him. He said, well, you better get him out. So he's going to kill him too. Ironically, he hit a tree and killed himself. Of course, he was imbibing. He's a little bit drunk when he did it, but anyway, you know, we don't know how, and I think about it sometimes. We don't know if we're going to have a car wreck. We don't know if we're going to get shot. We don't know if we're going to have cancer. We don't know. Amen. There's a lot of unknowns, and there's a sting to death. Death is painful sometimes. You know, I think about the man or Brother Smith that died the other day. I mean, my goodness, sat beside your wife for 70 years and just fall asleep. You know, that's a good way to go. But not everybody gets that blessing. And some of us are going to suffer. I remember, you know, it hurts, and it hurts to watch people die. Now, I remember when my dad died, in, I think, 06, and he was breathing and drowning. Fluid was just, and it was just gurgling. And I, you know, you watch that for a while, and I remember thinking, this has got to stop. And you wish they'd die. You know, breathing got shallower and it got better, but to watch somebody go through that, boy, it's a sting to death. It hurts them, it hurts us. Many of you have seen that kind of thing, but he said here, O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is going to be defeated. Those that will go to heaven without dying will not experience the sting of death. Not only that, verse 55, there'll be a big victory over the grave. He said, O grave, where's thy victory? If we're living when Christ raptures the church, we won't have to go through the grave. As we said the other day, we'll go through the clouds and not through the clods. Some of us are going to cheat death. Some of us are not going to have to die. And Paul said, you know, this is something, it's a mystery. Now, we do have some Old Testament examples of the rapture. Who are they? Y'all can speak up. Enoch and Elijah. We have some Old Testament examples. The Bible says about Enoch in chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 24. It says, Enoch, you know, he had a son named Methuselah. And the word Methuselah means when he is gone, it will be sent. God told Enoch judgment was on its way. And when Enoch, what he's told him when his son was born is when your son dies, the judgment's coming. Mercifully, God allowed Methuselah to live 969 years, nearly a millennia, more than anybody else recorded in the Bible. And if you add up the year he died, it came, the flood came. The judgment was on its way. But in verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. God raptured him. Hebrews chapter number, and by the way, he raptured him before the flood. It was a type of the church going out before the tribulation or before judgment. Hebrews 11 verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It said that Enoch was translated. That means to transport or to remove. God just removed him and took him out and caught him up and raptured him. And the Bible said in Hebrews, he did not see death. And, you know, and he said he was not found. Maybe some of them looked for him. What happened to Enoch? He went that way. He went that way. So anyway, and again, he was taken out of before the judgment came on the earth, as the church will be before the tribulation. And then we have Elijah in 2 Kings, and we'll not read it, but chapter 2, verse 11. As he and Elisha walked along, the chariots of God came down and took him out of the, just took him up and took him to heaven. Amen. Translate him. He didn't die. And the later verses tells us in of that chapter, verse 16 through 18 in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha, you know, Elisha told him, said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, if you see me go, you'll get it. And he saw him go. And he picked up the mantle and he walked, he parted the Jordan. And some of the sons of the prophet said, let us go look for him. Yeah. Elisha said, no. Elisha knew where he went. They kept on. He said, well, go ahead. They said, well, maybe, you know, Elisha no doubt said he went to heaven on a chariot. And they said, well, maybe he threw him on a mountain, though, or threw him in the water, on the valley. He said, well, then go on. They come back. Said, we couldn't find him. He said, I told you. He went up. Amen. And he stayed up. Yeah. When's the next time he was seen? Matthew 17, when Jesus was up on the mount with the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, and the glory came out in him. Moses and Elijah appeared there, and they knew who they were. I believe we'll know who we are and know our loved ones. But anyway, those two are pictures of the rapture. And then let me say this, what's the results of this mystery? The rapture, the people, some will go to heaven without dying. First of all, Jesus will fulfill his promise of John 14, verses 1 through 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe all in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God made a promise to the believers and to the church, to those disciples. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place, but I'll come back and you'll go back and be with me. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, I promise you one thing, I'm going to come get you, and you'll be with me. Amen. And that's what's going to happen in the rapture. He's going to fulfill that promise. He's going to take us away, either through death or through the change. He's going to take us into heaven to fulfill that promise that we'll be with him forever. Not only that, it's going to end the dispensation of grace. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul talking about the dispensation of grace. Now, dispensation is a mode of God dealing with man. When man was first created, he dealt with him in innocence. And then conscience. And after sin and later on, God dealt with man through government. He created government, Genesis 9, after the flood. And then he dealt with him through promise with Abraham. He dealt with him through the law. But now he's dealing with us through the dispensation, Paul says, or dealing with us through grace in this church age. The time when the Jew and Gentiles baptized into one body. But when we're raptured, it will end the dispensation of grace. And we'll move into the tribulation and then into the kingdom. So we'll end the dispensation of grace that God gave to Paul. Not only that, it will deliver the church before the tribulation. Some people believe the church is going through the tribulation. Some people believe it's going halfway through the tribulation. But I believe we're leaving before the tribulation. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 that we read a while ago describes the rapture of the catching away of the saints. And he went on in chapter 5 and talked about the day of the Lord. That's the second coming. And he went on and talked about how during the tribulation they'll think peace and safety, but sudden destruction will come upon them. But he goes on in verse 9 after he talks about all that and says, for God hath not appointed us the wrath, but to obtain salvation through by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And talking about the tribulation time, Revelation says it's the wrath of the Lamb has come. It's a time of wrath. Now, he's not talking about hell here. He said he's delivered us from the wrath to come, because that's what he's talking about is the tribulation. But he's not appointed us to that. That's not a time for us. We're going to be gone. and will not see the tribulation. So it'll deliver the church out of the tribulation. Then I want to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because there's a couple of things here that will, the results of the rapture. Two things. One, it'll stop the restraining Holy Spirit on evil. When we leave, now the Holy Spirit's omnipresent, but he dwells within us. Amen. And when we leave out of here, he's going to stop holding back evil, and he's going to allow the Antichrist to step forward. Right. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come like falling away first. People are going to fall away from the truth. Certainly that's happening now. And the man of sin be revealed, which is the son of perdition. There was a question is that they thought they were already in the tribulation and that Christ maybe had already come. Paul says, no, that day won't happen. They're going to be a falling away, an apostasy. And then the son of man will be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God's, he is as God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, we've studied this in Revelation, and we'll probably get into it tonight. The Antichrist during the tribulation is going to enter the temple in Jerusalem and claim to be God. Yeah. And he says one day he'll step forward and do that. Remember you not, verse 5, when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what holdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Something's holding back the Antichrist. Amen. From stepping forward and taken over in the temple. Something's holding him back. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity. That's another one of them mysteries. It's hard to understand why the Lord lets sin work like it does. Yeah. But there's a mystery to it. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. Amen. Something is restraining the evil in this world. Yeah. Believe it or not, it's not as bad as it's going to be. We studied the other night in Revelation how literally demons out of hell is going to be loosed on this earth. Oh, yeah. But the wickedness is being held back. And he said the mystery of iniquity doth already work, verse 7, only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I think that's talking about the Holy Spirit that's abiding within the church. Right. When we're removed, he's going to stop his restraining in verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy it with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So it says in these scriptures, I believe that this is it. I mean, when we're taken out, the Holy Spirit's quit holding back evil. It's going to quit holding back the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist can step forward, he'll sign a 7-year covenant with Israel, which will be the 7 years of tribulation, and it will begin. So the one part of the mystery, the results of the mystery, is when we were gone, the Antichrist and the tribulation come forward, and the tribulation will start. And then, as we studied last week, Israel's blindness will be lifted when we leave. The blindness of Israel, he said, is until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That means the fullness of the church. The church will be complete. God dealt with the Jew during this dispensation of the church age. He's dealing through the church. His message is going out through the church. The Jew is blinded. When we leave, the church will not be carrying out the gospel in the tribulation. It'll go back to dealing with the Jews. There'll be two witnesses, 144,000 Jewish missionaries. But anyway, Israel's blindness will be lifted. They will then be able to see. And then by the end of the tribulation, they'll see Christ in his second coming and see the one they pierced. And they'll accept him finally as their Messiah. This will be the results of the mystery. Now, what we're going to learn on Wednesday night, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, what is a time of seed sowing. We mentioned this Wednesday night. He starts out with a parable of sowing seeds. We're still in the church age. We still have a responsibility to sow seeds, the gospel seed to see people saved. It's our responsibility to spread as much seed as we can. And, of course, it's up to the Lord how in dealing with hearts, and it's up to them to accept it. But we're in a time of seed sowing. And I want to encourage us, as I did Wednesday night, this is a blessed time to live. Amen. And we may be on the verge of the rapture, but if some's left behind unsaved, if they've heard the gospel, they're probably not going to be saved. Amen. But this is the time. Let's stand together, and I want to encourage you to sow seed. Let's do our responsibility. He's dealing with the church right now. and through the church. Let's sow seed. Let's help give somebody the gospel before we pray. There's seed in each of these exits in the form of tracts. Take the seed and put it out in the field, and let's let the Holy Spirit work on hearts. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the promise. You're coming after us. You're going to change us. Lord, we're thankful for the resurrection, the hope it gives. Lord, you said for us not to sorrow as those who have no hope. We have hope every time we bury a loved one that's saved, that we'll see them again. Somebody here may not have that hope. I pray you speak to their heart if they need to accept you. Help this be that time in Jesus' name. Amen.